Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Ty, and welcome to Legends of Man, your weekly podcast on mythology, urban legends, and folklore. In this week's episode, I wanted to move over to Japan to talk about some yokai in Japanese folklore. Also, sorry about the thunder, but hey, it adds a spooky element considering talking about the supernatural and yokai. So I went online and searched up a couple of yokai, and I found out that they actually have a site dedicated to the whole folklore aspect of the country, and it's called yokai.com. And on that site, they have an introduction page, and it goes as follows. What yokai are/aren't? Yokai are strange supernatural creatures and phenomena from Japanese folklore. The word is a combination of the characters attractive, bewitching, calamity, and mystery and wonder. Over the years, many different English words have been used as translations. Yokai can be translated as monster, demon, spirit, or goblin, but it encompasses all of that and more. The world of yokai also includes gods, ghosts, transformed humans and animals, spirit possession, urban legends, and other strange phenomena. It is a broad and vague term, and nothing exists in the English language that quite describes it. Yokai is one of those words like samurai, geisha, ninja, and sushi that is best left in its native tongue. One of the most difficult things to define are the boundaries of what constitutes a yokai and what isn't a yokai. Even in Japanese, the term is difficult to pin down. Over the many eras of Japan's history, different words have been used to catch all terms for the supernatural forces of this world. Bakemono, obake, mononoke, kai, oni. Depending on who you're talking to, specific creatures may or may not be classified as yokai. Are ghosts yokai? Are oni yokai? Can good spirits be yokai, or are they only evil spirits? Are kami yokai? Does yokai only apply to Japan, or does it apply to all countries? Every rule has an exception, and every answer has a contradiction. The broadest possible definition of yokai includes all supernatural creatures and phenomena from all parts of the world. Essentially, everything supernatural everywhere. I prefer to use a broad brush when defining yokai, but not that broad. In my books and on the site, yokai refers to all supernatural creatures and phenomena which are found in Japanese folklore. My definition is limited especially to Japanese folklore for two reasons. Because yokai is a Japanese word, and because there is already an English word which describes everything supernatural from everywhere supernatural. But aside from restricting the definition to Japanese folklore, I prefer to define yokai with as broad a brush as possible. A brief history of yokai. Japanese folklore is an amalgamation of different traditions with its foundation in the folk religions of isolated tribes living in the Japanese Isles. These traditions may be modified by Shinto and later Buddhism, incorporating elements from Chinese and Indian folklore and mythology as well. The oldest recorded histories of Japan go back to the 8th century and contain the creation myth and legendary prehistory of Japan. Various documents catalog these stories from different perspectives and contain the earliest records of the gods, demons, and other supernatural creatures of Japanese folklore. In ancient Japan, spirits were thought to be formless and invisible to the human eye. However, as artistic traditions developed, it became necessary to visually depict the spirits and monsters from stories. These began as painted scrolls, and later expanded into multi-volume illustrated encyclopedias of strange tales and supernatural stories. During the Edo period, 1603 to 1868, there was an unprecedented flourishing of culture and art in Japan. Ghost stories and stories about monsters and strange phenomena from all over Japan experienced a huge surge in popularity. The very first mythical bestiaries were put together by folklorists and artists like Toriyama Seiken, who collected the oral traditions of rural Japan for consumption by the growing urban population, and added a few original monsters into the mix. Seiken's Yokai Encyclopedia set the stage for other artists, and a new tradition was born. It quickly expanded into every aspect of Japanese culture, from fine art to high theater, from aristocratic ghost storytelling parties to low-class baldry, and so on. Yokai fell out of popularity during the Meiji Restoration, when Japan rapidly modernized its society and culture. They were all but abandoned as a relic of superstitions and embarrassing past. After World War II, manga artist Shigeru Mizuki rediscovered their charm and reintroduced them to a modern Japan. His comic series, Gege no Kitaro, caused a second explosion of interest in the supernatural. Today, the influence of yokai can again be seen in all aspects of Japanese culture, from manga and anime to video games, brand labels, and even to Japanese currency. Now, another good thing about this site is that it has a whole collection of yokai in alphabetic order from A to Z, and it also has a cool feature where it allows you to click a button called Random Yokai, and it gives you a specific yokai in their database and lets you learn about them. I pressed this button, and what came up was Ikkiku. So let's learn about her. Appearance. Ikkiku was the name of a servant girl who lost a precious plate, died a terrible death, and returned as a vengeful ghost. Along with Aiwa and Itsuo, Ikkiku's tale is one of the Nihon Sai Dankaidan, Japan's big three ghost stories. Her story has been retold countless times in folk tales, puppet theater, kabuki, film, and manga. Though the general outline of her story remains the same, the names, locations, and surrounding details vary quite a bit from telling to telling. The most famous version of her story is called Bancho Sarayashiki, the dish manor of Bancho. It takes place in Himeji, present-day Hoyo Prefecture. Legends. Long ago, there was a woman named Okiku, who worked as a dishwashing servant at Himeji Castle. Okiku was very beautiful, and it was not long before she caught the eye of one of her master's retainers, a samurai named Oyama. Oyama tried many times to seduce Okiku, but each time she rejected his advances. Eventually, Oyama grew impatient with Okiku and decided to trick her into becoming his lover. In the castle, there was a set of 10 very expensive dishes. Oyama hid one of them and then called for Okiku. He told her one of his master's fine dishes was missing and demanded to know where it was. Okiku became frightened. Losing one of her lord's prized dishes was a crime punishable by death. She counted the dishes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. She recounted them again and again. Each time, she came up one short. Okiku was distraught. Oyama told Okiku that he would overlook her mistake and tell his master that it wasn't Okiku who lost the dish, but only if she would become his mistress. Though Okiku wanted to live, she once again refused Oyama. This time, the samurai became furious. He ordered his servants to beat Okiku with a wooden sword. Afterwards, he had her tied up and suspended over the castle well. He tortured Okiku, repeatedly dunking her into the well, only to pull her back out of the water and beat her himself. Oyama demanded one last time that Okiku become his mistress. She refused. So Oyama struck her violently with his sword and dropped her body down in the well. Not long after, Okiku's ghost was seen wandering the castle grounds, night after night. She arrived from the well and entered his master's house, searching for the missing dish. She would count the plates. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. After counting the ninth plate, she would let out a blood-curdling scream that would be heard throughout the castle. She tormented Oyama this way every night, robbing him of his rest. Those who heard part of Okiku's counting became very sick. Those unlucky enough to hear her count all the way to 9 died shortly after. Finally, the lord of the castle decided that something had to be done about Okiku's ghost. He called the priest and asked him to pray for her and exorcise her spirit. The priest waited in the garden all night, chanting sutras. Once again, Okiku's ghost rose out of the well. She began to count the dishes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. As soon as Okiku counted the 9th dish, and before she could scream, the priest shouted out, 10! Okiku's ghost appeared, relieved that someone had found the missing dish. From then on, she never haunted the castle again. Dang, even after all the persuading, Okiku stuck to her guns. Gotta respect that. Even though that it ended badly for her, she stuck to her rights and didn't give Oyama what he wanted. Pretty good yokai tale if you ask me. Well, let's see what next pops up when I press random yokai. The next yokai to appear is called Denpachi Kitsune. Appearance. Denpachi Kitsune is a famous kitsune from Iraka, Sosa City, Chiba Prefecture. He disguised himself as a young student, infiltrated the seminary, and studied Nichiren Buddhism for 10 years until his disguise was discovered. Legend. Long ago, there was a major Buddhism seminary in Iraka. Young men from all over eastern Japan would go there and study to become priests. Its most famous student, however, was a kitsune named Konoha, who attended the seminary disguised as a boy named Denpachi. Konoha woke up early every morning, transformed into Denpachi, and arrived at school before anyone else. When the other students and teachers arrived each morning, Denpachi would already be there, performing his temple chores like sweeping the floors and preparing meals. Denpachi was an exemplary student. He poured himself into his studies. He performed his aesthetic training diligently and learned to comprehend the deepest esoteric mysteries. From time to time, he even instructed the other students in some of the more difficult teachings. Denpachi came to be highly respected among his fellow students and the faculty. Though he was a diligent student, Denpachi was occasionally careless. Students and teachers discovered his fox paw prints leading into and out of the seminary buildings. Once in a while, leaves onto which Denpachi had copied the Lotus Sutra and accidentally dropped would be found in the gardens. Rumors spread that a kitsune was performing mischiefs at the seminary. Of course, nobody suspected Denpachi. For 10 years, Denpachi continued to study diligently at Iraka. One day, a high priest named Saint Noke was installed as the new headmaster of Iraka. There was a ceremony and a great banquet. Though alcohol was normally forbidden, the restriction was lifted from the evening, and it turned into a night of wild drinking. The students, including Denpachi, drank themselves into a stupor. Denpachi became so drunk that he lost control of his disguise and transformed back into a fox. His deception revealed, the other students descended upon Denpachi. They tied him up and beat him so nearly to death, then dragged him before Saint Noke for judgment. Denpachi kneeled before the headmaster with tears in his eyes and begged for forgiveness. He explained that his real name was Konoha, and he lived in a hole in the woods near the seminary. He had heard that a young priest every day reciting their chants and performing their studies. He wanted to try studying too. So he had disguised himself as a young boy and slipped into the seminary, blending in with the crowds. Saint Noke listened to Konoha's plea and was touched by the kitsune's sincerity, his success and diligence as a student, and his passion for helping others. He told the students, "For the teachings of the Lotus Sutra to have reached the heart of this lowly beast, it is truly a marvelous thing." Saint Noke forgave Konoha's deception. Konoha promised from then on he would serve the temple as a guardian spirit and protector of the faint. Saint Noke built a small shrine for Konoha to live in one corner of the lecture hall's front garden. Konoha's spirit came to be known as Konoha Inari Daimoji, a popular local deity who grants wishes to farmers, merchants, and students. His shrine still stands and remains a popular place of devotion to this day. Pretty normal story if you ask me. And a quite interesting one is that. A kitsune disguising itself as a student. Let's roll the dice again and see what we get. Next up is Yanari. Appearance. Yanari are miniature oni which appear in houses late at night. They appear most often in wooden houses, especially those of cheap or new construction in which all the parts have not had time to sell yet. They often carry miniature weapons or tools, such as mallets or iron clubs. Behavior. Yanari only do one thing, and they love doing it. Making noise. They come out from the floors, ceilings, and the woodwork late at night when everyone is in bed, and they run about the house performing mischief. Specifically, they bang the furniture, the walls, floors, ceilings, and anything else they can find. Occasionally, they even break objects. Although their activity is usually non-destructive, Yanari delight in the work and take it very seriously. Although tiny, they have a strong work ethic and do their best to perform their duty of making noise to the fullest. Legend. Long ago, in what is now Hogyo, a group of ronin decide to test their courage by spending a night in a haunted house. Late at night, when they were all fast asleep, the entire house suddenly began to shake violently. The ronin, thinking it was an earthquake, dashed outside for safety. However, they soon realized that it was only the house that was shaking. The next day, the group of ronin visited a wise man who lived nearby and told him of their experience at the haunted house. Sure enough, late at night, the entire house began to shake violently, just as before. The wise man looked carefully at the floor, locating the area where the most violent shaking was originating. He stabbed his dagger deep into the tatami mat. Suddenly, the shaking stopped entirely. The next morning, the ronin and the wise man examined the house. Under the floor where the wise man had stabbed his dagger, they found a strange gravestone dedicated to the memory of a bear. Where the knife had penetrated the stone tablet, blood was trickling out. The wise man asked the others in the neighborhood what the strange gravestone could mean, and they explained that some time ago, there was a bear in those parts who frequently broke into people's houses at night. One night, it broke into that particular house, and the man who lives in there killed it. In order to appease the spirit of the bear, he had a gravestone placed in the house dedicated to the bear's memory. The ghost of the bear must have possessed that gravestone, which is what had been causing the Yanari to appear every night and shake the house for years. Another story that I think suits Japanese folklore. All the its and bitses get tied up nicely at the end, and it's quite an entertaining short story. Well, anyway, that was the last yokai I wanted to talk about in this episode, and it's time to move into closing thoughts. I think yokai and Japanese folklore are really interesting. There are so many to learn about, and I believe it just gets added on to as time passes in Japan, which is a really cool thing to think about. If you like this episode, share it, rate it, favorite, and follow. You can check out other episodes of the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts. I really hope you enjoyed this episode, and thanks for listening. See ya.